What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Welcome one, welcome all, Patriot Power Hour. We're live. It's May 5th, 2020. Wow, Cinco de Mayo. I did not have any tequila in my system, unfortunately, nor any cerveza. But it is May 5th, 2020, 95th episode, Patriot Power Hour. Your host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters. Co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, good. And warming up for our show tonight, Ben, was the NBC guy. He put out a daily audio cache. I listened to it earlier today. High expectations that we have to live up to in the 95th episode of Patriot Power Hour.
We do our absolute best, like we do each and every week. That's some added pressure, though, I suppose. As always, in the second segment, we will be going through the news blitz. But before we get too far down the road, I want to plug how we're going to come out of the bottom of the hour. We're going to come out with, guess what, another contest. Pay attention, folks.
That's right.
1 ounce of silver or $20 equivalent in cryptocurrency of your choice. That's the contest for tonight. You got to stick with us, though, to the bottom of the hour. So 20, 25 minutes, we'll be giving some thoughts on how you can enter the contest. But I can't wait to do that, Future Dan. It always makes me happy.
Yep, we previewed the question tonight in episode 94. So if you're quick on your feet during the break, you could go back and listen to what we said we were going to talk about, get a leg up to win that coin or that Bitcoin.
Yep, absolutely. And that's for the dedicated hardcore listeners. if you did listen last week, and you know it is going to be a first come, first serve basis for one of the prizes, but for the grand prize, I'm going to give everybody a whole week. So it's kind of two ways. There's really two prizes. We'll announce it later on, but it's whoever answers the question correctly first will be one prize. But the real true grand prize, that $20 in crypto or 1 ounce of silver, you'll have about 5 days to submit your answer. So if you listen on archive, you still have a chance. And the live listener will have one chance, which is why I'm bifurcating it this way. Live listener will have their chance, but also the archive listener will have it that way. Just to incentivize the listeners and thank the listeners that listen live, but also give some respect to those archive listeners, because almost all listening I do these days is podcasts. I never listen to stuff live. So anyway, had to get that out there, Future Dan. How you doing today?
Yeah, good. And if you could do the response to the questions fast enough, because you know the subject matter well enough, then you're also probably going to be there's an extra benefit, because getting a hold of something that's not fiat currency is going to, you know, prepare you even a little bit, even just an ounce of silver is better to have than not when you appreciate the question you'll be answering.
Absolutely. So looking forward to that. Again, we are going to, at the end of this segment, get into the news blitz, featuredanger.com. Be sure to follow along. That'll cover the wide swath of things, but Future Dan, what in the past week has really perked your interest? We haven't seen an economic rout. We've seen the deaths pile up, but it's not, you know, quote unquote, apocalyptic levels. What's been going on the past week?
The federal debt to be taken on in this quarter is 5 times greater than ever before. That is kind of noteworthy.
Well, I'm impartial to talking about that stuff all the time, so you don't have to do much to get me riled up about that. And this is kind of another hint towards the contest.
90-day span.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is a hint out there. This is foreshadowing for the contest, what we're talking about here. So another hint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, that's the most salient thing. It's boring to some. And if you're just looking at a pattern as it builds, it's quite a milestone. In a 90-day period in a government fiscal quarter, this being the third of fiscal year 2020, 5 times greater amount of debt is just going to be borrowed by a bill, by bills passed by Congress and signed by the president. 5 times more than 2008. I mean, that we knew it was happening, but now it's like official.
Yep, absolutely official. And you know, if you're going to take something away from Patriot Power Hour and my ramblings about the Fed and the national debt and all that, just remember, there's the Fed, and then there's the federal. What I mean is, the Fed has added trillion upon trillion to its balance sheet in the bailouts of the big mega banks and mega corporations, mainly. Whereas you gotta take that into account. That's huge. But you gotta also remember there's trillions of other debt and bailout that has been put forth by the federal government. Yes, we talked a little bit about the Treasury and the Federal Reserve working in tandem on some of these projects, absolutely. But the trillions we talk about, again, trillions with a T, the trillions that we talk about with the Federal Reserve, you got to remember that's in addition to the trillions with the Treasury.
The bank and the Treasury. I mean, that two instruments of state power for centuries, right? And there's so many people who would just either not understand what you're talking about, Ben, or when they do understand, just wave their hand at your argument and just, like, you know, we got to do it because otherwise the economy would fail. And I don't know for how long they could just wave their hand before some of these numbers matter.
Well, that's one part of it I want to address, and I've said this a couple times, but I really want to address here right now since you brought it up. At this point, when the lockdowns took place, it was probably the proper, to some degree, I'm sure it's been massive misappropriations, which we'll find out in the future, but really they did need to bring out all the bazookas with the deficit spending, the unemployment benefits, just, you know, forbearance on loans to some degree. It had to happen, but we have been pissing away our ammo the last 10 plus years that when we actually had a crisis like this, we were at our wit's edge and had to really overextend ourselves. So that's one part
that's
of it. I do want people to realize.
Though.
What's that?
Somewhat moderate position, because implicit is that you're admitting that modern central banking should do these things in downturns. And because they do it every downturn, no matter how minor, anytime, it's like the system's over-inoculated. And that last crash in March, I mean, it should have been a doozy. And I'm not sure that, you know, whatever shook those structures, that, you know, economic and disease quake that just rocked the world, including our nation, I'm not sure if some of the economy isn't still going to fall pretty soon, right? You know, unemployment is still massive every single week and growing.
Well, that's where it comes full circle. It's what do these numbers actually mean? How do we translate trillions of dollars? What does that actually mean? And not just to the economy, but to the average person. And will that mean inflation? Will that mean the replacement of the dollar as the sole reserve currency? A small example, in every country except the United States, gold is at an all-time high in that local currency. But the U.S., because the dollar still is reigns supreme, gold is cheaper. And guess what? That also means oil's cheaper, food, everything. Think of all the stuff that's been purchased at Walmart made in China and Vietnam and India for dirt cheap because of the privilege of having the reserve currency. When that privilege is gone, which may be a relatively quick event, you know, you go bankrupt slowly and then all at once, that'll be the wake-up call. It's just, when will that happen and what can you do to prepare is what I like to focus on too.
Yeah, well, there's only 180-something, you know, full states on the planet. And one of them has to be better off than everybody else. You can go default in your personal finances. Companies can go default left and right. All kinds of entities can, like, go bankrupt and have to pay the consequence. When you're, you know, have the most economic power in a very small group of 184 planets, maybe this thing just contorts and, just gets worse and worse and even worse this for decades. And we all know it defies reason, but no one can seem to stop it.
Unfortunately, I think at this point it is unstoppable. It's just, can they flatten the curve, almost flatten the economic destruction curve? I think we're almost a little too late for that. It's time for a reset. But guess what? It's also time for a commercial. Coming up right now. Check out the sponsor. Check out other shows on Prepper Broadcasting Network. And stick with us because the News Blitz is going to be with you in just a few minutes on this 95th episode of the Patriot Power Hour, Cinco de Mayo. We'll be right back.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the 6 categories of base-level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug-out plan. There is a lot to the bug-out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I asked Bear Stearns to price our shorts. They tell me the CDOs still haven't moved.
Listen, you realize that these people are crooks and they should be in prison. Look at the Tavex. You can see that the CDOs are worth zero. So you know what they're doing, huh? You know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're unloading them.
They're selling the dog shit CDOs, then they go to another bank and short the shit they just fucking there. Sold.
Let's go to the press, man. This is a massive story.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
May 5th, 2020. Time for that Future Danger News Blitz. Follow along, FutureDanger.com. Again, FutureDanger.com. Starting in the first column, Liberty. Hawaiian police arrest and cite protesters at an anti-quarantine rally. NYPD chief is threatening quarantine enforcement. In St. Louis, 900 informant reports lead to 29 businesses being reprimanded. And in the foreign travel restricted indicator, the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, international travel may need to be limited to business people with need only. If you're not considered essential, you're not getting on an international plane for the foreseeable future. Second column, national defense geopolitics. United States intelligence believes China hid the severity of COVID-19 epidemic while stockpiling supplies. Air Force bombers flying over the South China Sea, the latest foray into contested space. Also reports of a new Chinese nuclear stealth bomber, which can reach Los Angeles. Trending in the armed citizens protest indicator, hundreds of protesters, some armed in the state capitol, demonstrate against Michigan quarantine. I know a lot of people have seen that, but that's a big one. Still trending, even though it was a few days ago. That means it's getting some big hits on Future Danger. I can see why. War with Russia starts. Low level, but topical. U.S. Navy sending ships to the Barents Sea for the first time since the 80s. Supreme Court holds the first arguments by telephone. Interesting. Let's move on. Third column, economic finance. As you know, Future Danger has a categorization and a coding where you can see very easily how severe and how imminent some of these danger indicators are. The biggest flashing alert right now on the entire board is in the economic column, and there's several headlines here. And it's under the economic news dreadfully disappoints indicator. Here's five columns in a row. Ready? GDP sinks 4.8% in the first quarter. Biggest drop since 2008. U.S. trade deficit widens on record crash in exports. Junk bond leverage hits record high. 18 signs that we are facing a record-breaking economic implosion in 2020. And consumer debt, hits an all-time record, $14.3 trillion. Remember when I talked about the Federal Reserve and the federal government, all that debt? Well, don't forget about the consumer debt, amongst other debt out there. All those big-time stories. The financial crisis is not over yet. Maybe we've taken a pause. But let's continue on. Food prices soaring. Meat prices going up, grocers putting limits on purchases. Federal government defaults, a few articles in there, but we still might have some runway. I don't know, but we're still looking at $4.5 trillion to be borrowed for fiscal year 2020. The U.S. Treasury's borrowing just $3 trillion this quarter. So if there is a second wave in the fall, no, we're going to be looking at several trillion more. Now let's move on to the fourth and final column, the natural news column. These days, the pandemic COVID column. Let's start towards the bottom with the red indicators. Key findings from Intel dossier on Chinese bat virus program. Go check those out. New Mexico governor invokes the Riot Control Act to quarantine city. Most states fall short of coronavirus testing thresholds. We got, let's see, experimental COVID-19 vaccines. Emergency human testings have begun. At least that's what's being reported. Pestilence befalls. U.S. records 2,500 COVID deaths in 24 hours. World corona's death toll tops 240,000. Coronavirus deaths in the USA at 70,000 in total. 1.2 million infected. So just in the past week, since the last episode of Patriot Power Hour, 10,000 plus have been classified. And before I bring Future Dan back on, of course, I missed one of the biggest articles on the entire heat map on FutureDanger.com. Unemployment explodes. Another week of about 4 million initial jobless claims. 3.84 million, topping 30 million over the last 6 weeks. 30 million in the last 6 weeks. Last six episodes of Patriot Power Hour. 30 million people unemployed. Bringing Future Dan back on. Wow, 30 million. Can you believe that? Does that even sound possible?
Yeah, I mean, when we first saw what the stay-at-home orders looked like, I was wondering if it was going to be higher than that, actually. But that's still awful. It's still irreparable damage to business.
Yep. I think, you know, it takes a lot longer to find a job than it does to lose your job. So even if they start adding, you know, a million jobs per month, which would be per week, which would be incredible growth and return to work, it's still going to take 20, 30 weeks to catch up for just the damage done in the last month, month and a half.
Minimum. You know, there will be some weeks that are going to be record-setting come back.
Yep.
As long as it happens in May. As long as it happens this month, there'll be record numbers, and that'll just show you what a massive intervention in the economy that our federal government, at least at that level, succeeded at doing. Because in 1929, they didn't come back for years, right? And that crash in March was... stock market, at least, was nearly as bad.
On percentage terms, it was. Obviously, yeah. By the numbers themselves, but by percentage term, you're right. There were a couple episodes we did in a row where we were comparing the biggest drops in history, and I think maybe two, if not three, of those days in March were in top 10 all time.
Oh, top five. Yeah, there's a couple of days that were greater than the three-day span in the October 29, end of October 29 stretch that were just as bad in percentage terms, not nominal points, which we know are greatly inflated almost a century later. No, just sheer chop of that market. And we did a special episode where we compared the top, you know, all-time worst days and what we were living through then.
It was that was a white knuckled few episodes there, and I for one am trying not to be lulled to sleep, not because what's going on isn't super interesting, relevant, and important, but because it kind of has been Groundhog Day, especially, you know, working. I'm happy to be working from home, still have a job, but routine every single day is the same. It seems. You know, it seems that the stock market's stabilized. Each day it's up a few hundred, down a few hundred. Everything's going to be on the right track. I don't subscribe to that, but I can see why people either A, get lulled to sleep, or B, are just, you know, hypnotized with so much Netflix and GMO food that they don't even pay attention anyway.
There's zombie banks, there's zombie companies now. And there's zombies living at home under quarantine, and it's happening to the whole nation. But eventually, there has to be a reckoning for some of what happened.
Yeah, reality has to come into effect. We haven't invented ways to get around the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, and We'll be talking about that on the other side here when we get into the contest I've been plugging here a few times. What does this all mean, all this money? What does it mean to go $5 trillion more in national debt in 1 year? Does it really matter or not? So we're going to get into that. But before we run out, we got about 90 seconds. I've been talking a lot. I want to hear a couple of those articles or thoughts you had on the news blitz before we hit the break.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on the Western Pacific. And the Chinese have an internal audience that has to be pacified. This is shaping up to be as bad for them as Tiananmen Square, a global, perception of the country. And they may lash out. They may do things that we haven't had to deal with from communist China for many, many decades when they were a lot less powerful militarily. So the air naval picture all around those artificial islands and wherever China has neighbors like Taiwan and Japan and Vietnam, if they get aggressive, that could be an echo or a fallout from what happened in March, for sure. And to them in December with their spike in deaths.
Right. Oh, absolutely. There's just so many examples in history, not even going back to World War II or World War I, talking going back to the Roman times and even before, where major plagues and major depressions, economic depressions, did
bring war.
Occur simultaneously and brought war. Exactly. So, all right, folks, you hear that music. That means we're going to break. But do stick with us. We're going to be on the other side with a contest for you. Looking forward to that, absolutely. And stick to our partners here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network. You got to check out some of their work. Do that. Check out our sponsor here. Stick with us. Patriot Power. It's not my kind. It's not my time to wonder why. Everything all white, everything's gray. Now you're here, now you're away.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule? All available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secured.
Well, Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs. Ribavirin is among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Can you tell us to date how many people have died from this virus?
Very difficult. We're still working on confirming that number. There are 50 different states in this country, which means there are 50 different health departments, followed by 50 different protocols.
Let me bring in Alan Crumwoody into this debate as well. Alan's a freelance journalist. He was the first to track the Shinko Busman video. Alan, today on Twitter, you wrote that the truth about this virus is being kept from the world by the CDC, by the World Health Organization, to allow friends of the current administration to benefit from it, both financially and physically.
There are therapies we know are effective right now, like forsythia, and they don't even appear on the CDC website.
On your blog, you also wrote that the World Health Organization is somehow in bed with pharmaceutical companies.
Because they are. That's who stands to gain from this. They're working hand in glove. And the hand is reaching into our pockets.
The CDC is exploring forsythia and other homeopathic treatments, but right now, there's no science to back any of these claims.
Or no way Dr. Cheever or the people who put him into power can profit from it.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour is back in your life. Cinco de Mayo. This is a very sober Cinco de Mayo for me. Unfortunately, maybe I'll make up for it this weekend. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, on this May 5th, 2020 episode, 95th episode of Patriot Power Hour. Lots of fives involved. So I've been plugging it all episode and even late last episode. It's time for another contest. Our first was very successful here on the PBN. Got several entries and a winner who actually received his silver late last week. So congratulations. 99.99% pure silver delivered. He gave me a P.O. box. So, I mean, you got to give a home address or a P.O. box. I'm sorry, I can't be that anonymous. But if you're really into being anonymous, maybe some crypto is for you. So remember, while I love silver, I think crypto may have a role in the future economy. So you can also request your prize in that. But without further ado, the question that I want you to answer is this. $1 trillion. I want you, it's more of a project presentation than a question. I want you to describe and relate to the average person what $1 trillion is. What I did end of last show, and you can't use this obviously, was a nuclear-powered modern aircraft carrier. I looked it up. A modern brand new U.S. aircraft carrier, $13 billion. Throw in all the men, material, and everything else, we're at $20 billion. Guess what? $1 trillion is 50 aircraft carrier. We only have 11 in the fleet. That's how I describe $1 trillion. 50 brand new aircraft carriers. How do you describe $1 trillion? I thought aircraft carriers, 50 aircraft carriers sunk. That would be the craziest war losses America's seen, I guess, ever, probably. And we're seeing much more than that. So let me bring on future Dan, get his thoughts, maybe some more. Feel free to add more nuance or context to this question, to this contest. But what do you think about describing $1 trillion?
Yeah, well, the fiscal deficit for this year, government accounting year, is going to be, multiply whatever, $1 trillion by 4.5. It's going to be $4.5 trillion. So if you come up with some unit of measure, that's what you're asking for, is a unit of measure. You use aircraft carriers to put it in perspective, but you could do it in other ways, like bigger things if you can come up with it, or maybe a smaller unit that just gives you the idea of the scale of how much money that is. And of course, we're always talking about it in how much debt it is, what's owed that you're supposed to be able to pay back. It'll be fascinating to see what kind of answers we get back.
Yes, I'm really stoked for it. As I said earlier in the show, the first person to give a solid response is going to win a prize, but the true grand prize, that 1 ounce of silver delivered to your door or P.O. box, or $20 U.S. dollars worth of cryptocurrency. That grand prize I'm going to give until next Sunday evening. Let's see. That is May 10th, Mother's Day. You have until Sunday, May 10th, 9 p.m. Eastern, to submit to dethrone the banksters at gmail.com. I know it's a mouthful, but I promise it's easy. Let's go slow. Dethrone the banksters, like gangsters, but banksters. Dethrone the banksters at gmail.com. What is $1 trillion to you? How can you describe that in kind of a meaningful way? And like you said, Future Dan, of course, you got to multiply that times all the Fed debt as well as the federal debt. But I just want to focus on $1 trillion for now.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Only $1 trillion. So anyway, next week we will go through all the answers, and one lucky winner is going to get the hookup. But doing this to help you guys out and give you a little something of value, something very worthwhile, I think. But I really, like you said, I really want to hear some of these interesting answers, because it helps me relate, because I'm kind of a finance wonk, you know. I need to relate it to someone else, you know. Just like, I don't know much about mechanical engineering. I need someone to break it down and dumb it down for me. How does a car work? I need to do the opposite with finance, I guess.
Well, it is a political argument, too, because you will hear some when they don't quite know the difference between federal debt and the Federal Reserve borrowing and asset purchasing of the Federal Reserve central banking, that, you know, they conflate the two. A lot of people do. If they even understand the Fed, they still conflate them, most people, I would say. And you'll hear arguments like, well, in a time of crisis like this, the Department of Defense should just be cut by 75%, right? There is that aspect of the left who, you know, just won't spend on military spending. And when you think of 11 aircraft carriers, and, you know, 4 to 3 of them are always deployed, and for the time being, at least, sort of major war, they do have the ability to influence a very large battle space by air. And so they are powerful weapons. And during during the outbreak of COVID-19, we had aircraft carriers returning to port unable to function. So other aircraft carriers potentially have to, you know, be there or be able to deploy to maintain our security posture. You know, 50 aircraft carriers for $1 trillion puts it into perspective of what they're doing on the fiscal and monetary side of our government. It can't be compared. Like, you can't cut the defense without risking war in any meaningful way to make up for it.
And here's what I want people to kind of focus on too. You can't just be like, okay, we're going to print $1 trillion and tomorrow 50 aircraft carriers will just show up. No, there's massive amounts of effort, time, consideration, budget overflows, and issues that have to be worked out. And probably the most important, I'll say it again, time. These trillions that are being printed and brought forward from the future, I mean, there's a disconnect. You can't print a supply chain. You can't print people going to work and producing things. Maybe some things. Maybe government workers, you can print that. But you know what I mean, right? Like there's a time element. I think we're going to start seeing that disassociation between this fiat money system we have and reality because of this time element, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess it all comes down to how close we are to it, which will make what you and I talk about just a little bit more prescient. Again, going back to NBC guy, Dave giving us a shout out on the Daily Audio Cache, there's one piece of his glowing praise of both Patriot Power Hour and Future Danger. Really appreciate that. But he did make a statement that anybody that tells you what they know is going to happen next is full of it, his words. While that may be true, I would argue that, you know, we using our God-given talents to analyze the news and occasionally, you know, point to the future and say, that's going to have an impact. I don't exactly understand how yet, but that can't be right and sustainable in the long run. And some of the side effects of this massive illusion, which is the fiat currency system and claiming reserves exist and, you know, setting up quote unquote facilities, which are these, you know, just these entities that say they own debt that others can't service any longer, say they own assets, possibly start buying equities in the stock market. This portends bad things. And I'm not able to see what it is quite yet, but the fault of the U.S. government and many, many, many other bad economic indicators becoming true, I think it's within reason to say those are on the table.
Yes, and the outbreak is big, and we're going to talk a lot about the outbreak to kind of finish off the show here, that the physical outbreak, not just the economic ramifications, which I always believed were equal or more important, probably more important. But I do want to say that it is hard to get up here and say that we could have done a better job. You said it was kind of a moderate position to say that the Fed and the government had no other option but to do all the stimulus and bailouts. I am trying hard to be devil's advocate. I was almost happy when you said that was a moderate stance because I had to bite my tongue to say it in to some degree. But, yep. I mean, imagine if there was none of this stimulus, though. What would have happened? There'd be – I know a lot of people that are getting either the unemployment checks directly or still have their job because their employer was able to get one or more of the programs, right? There would be some big problems right now. It's just would folks trust the market to self-correct and take care of itself, laissez-faire, or would that just sacrifice too many people? What are your comments on that? I know that's a loaded question. We got about 60 seconds.
Well, we're trapped in a spiral where you can't let it be. That's the French term, let it be. Let the market be. And we can't anymore. I think the point of no return was that 2008 crisis.
Yeah.
And now, if it's ever going to be, which could be a bad outcome for a particular set of generations that happen to live through it, isn't going to be like, it's not going to be letting it or not letting it. It's going to be, it's coming and we can't do anything about it anymore. And that's a lot worse than perhaps in 2007 and 8, letting it be.
And I think that's a great way to put it. It's almost like the most susceptible folks to COVID are those that are overweight, haven't taken care of themselves. Well, guess what? That'll catch up to you. Same thing economically. After all these years of abuse, look, now it's time to pay the piper. All right, folks, we'll be back with some more Prepper-related.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us. Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
to reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Because if you check on Facebook, you'll find a communique attributed to Dr. Cheever by Elizabeth Nygaard about the quarantine of Chicago hours before it was announced to the public. That's why I think he's a bit disingenuous when he says equal care for all and not just his friends.
Some pretty wild allegations here, Dr. Cheever. I mean, can you tell us what communication appeared and when? What exactly is the nature of your relationship with Elizabeth Nygaard?
Well, again, I'm not aware of anything attributed to me on any social
network. I'm sure you're not. It is there. It is there. Tell them what an Arnold of two really means, Dr. Cheever. Teach them some math, hmm? No? I'll do it. On day one, there were two people with it, and then there were four, and then it was 16, and you think you've got it in front of you. But next it's 256, and then it's 65,000, and it's behind you and above you and all around you. In 30 steps, it's a billion sick. 3 months. It's a math problem you can do on a napkin, and that's where we're headed. And that's why you won't even tell us the number of the dead, will you, Dr. Cheever? But you'll tell your friends when to get out of Chicago before anyone else has a chance.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to Patriot Power Hour, episode 95. This is Future Dan. It's May 5th, 2020. Fourth segment, fourth quarter of the Patriot Power Hour. Then we're going to go turn it over to Next Generation, the Bufords following us. Great show. Catch that next if you're listening live. If not, it's probably right in the archive at Prepper Broadcasting Network right after this episode of Patriot Power Hour. Cinco de Mayo, Ben. I got a question for you on it.
All right.
So you're younger than I am. Not a whole lot, right? But you're younger. I don't remember Cinco de Mayo being a thing, like when I was a kid. When did that all become a thing in the United States? And then how young do you have to be before you start assuming, well, it's always been a thing?
That's a great point. When I was a kid, I did not hear Cinco de Mayo. So I would say in college, and it's mostly drinking related, you know, pretty much Cinco de Mayo comes around finals time, hopefully after finals time. So definitely go to parties, tequila, Cinco de Mayo. So like I was like 20. So let's just say, I don't know, mid, you know, 2005 or something. I bet that anyone right now who, I'm 35, anyone under the age of 25 probably assumes Cinco de Mayo's been in America like as long as Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe not Christmas, but you know, 100 years they would say, I bet, which is obviously not right, but I don't think, I don't know.
So you're old enough to remember before it was like widely
like commercialized, everybody like knew everyone knew about it, right? I'm sure like people knew about it back then, but I definitely, you know, had no childhood recollection, or we didn't do anything in school either, you know. Maybe that's a way to look at it.
Yeah. You mentioned it in the first three segments, so I thought I'd follow up and just kind of see generationally how that became part of the American experience. But yeah, we're not drinking here on Tuesday night, are we? We're broadcasting on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, and it's serious business. So I want to tell you about something that I had the forethought, if I do say so myself, to order about 5 weeks ago, and I got them yesterday.
What are they?
All right. So if you have ever watched Alpine Ski Racing, the slalom event, the closed gates, you know, the breakaway gates where you'll see the skier weaving in short turns down steep hills on sheer ice. Olympic sport, right? I did it actually growing up. I love that sport. But I got some goggles attached to a face shield, just like those racers would wear, because they're getting the gate slapping them in the face, right, as they break them. But I got them out of China, specifically being sold shipped 5 weeks to get to my house in the United States. They're all clear, but the goggles, you could ski with them. They're like that. You can do motocross, any kind of anything, any motor vehicle, anything you need. They're sun, wind, and dust goggles, really, but totally clear. But they got a built-in mask that comes down below my chin. And now there are vents with this cutout. It projects out over your nose and over your mouth with side vents. And I did cut out what I had been using, a cloth mask, a medical mask, cut out pieces and taped them in. And what it does is I'll breathe and it will fog up underneath this mask, but it won't get up near my eyes. Previously, I've been going to stores with like sunglasses and a medical mask on in addition to gloves. Best I could do. This is a major improvement, and it would have been really good to have had these as ahead of a pandemic.
Right.
Now that I got a set of five, I'm probably going to look at having more because they look a little fragile. They are plastic, you know, injection molded plastic. And you know, you got to be careful with them with a break. But I'm totally psyched. I'm able to walk in public. And because they're transparent, you're not putting the fear of God into store clerks that you're there to stick the place up.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, that kind of protection with any kind of airborne respiratory illness that might be mutating, maybe not, I don't want to catch it to find out.
That's pretty awesome. You said you're trying to order more. Do you think there's any left? And I mean, pretty good foresight 5-6 weeks ago to order these. Sounds pretty legit. I guess I don't really have my mask solutions put together except my straight up gas mask with like an Israeli filter for nuclear biological chemical attacks. But I guess my question or thought for you to expound upon, how long are we going to be wearing these masks? And I mean, do they work? But more important, I'm thinking more societally though. My place of employment has already said when they reopen the physical office, folks are going to have to wear masks. I'm like, what? I want to work at home the rest of my life. Screw that. But anyway, how long do you think we're going to be wearing masks? Are people going to get sick and tired of that? Or will it be the new normal and we won't go back for a long time, if ever?
I don't know, but as long as this is the third leading cause of death in the United States, I'm going to wear one in public.
Well, I just don't want to go out in public, but I guess you got to. I mean, I go to the store and stuff.
I don't want to stay inside the rest of my life, but I mean, I can't sit at a restaurant and eat with one of these masks on, so there's still going to be things that,
right?
You know, but, you know, for the most part, you know, getting into the convenience store, you know, getting around gas pumps, going down the aisle to the grocery store,
yeah,
you know, whatever else opens, if you got something that is, you know, we're not going to get into conspiracies on whether, you know, or hoaxes of whether, you know, COVID-19 does or doesn't have, isn't a seriously lethal disease. I think it's a pandemic, whether natural or man-made. And if it's man-made, how that came to be, I don't know. But nevertheless, it's a real thing out there that we haven't dealt with. And this is a prep that I'm really glad I picked up. I wish call it a prep for the future pandemic, I guess, because I wasn't prepped when this started, but I am now.
Nice. I like it. Do you think it's effective, truly effective? I don't know. I've done a little research into this. I know some people think N95 masks are good enough. Some say those aren't even going to truly protect you unless you're super careful with how you secure it and remove and clean it, or can't even clean it. Have you done a lot of research on that?
No, I haven't done any research. It's just common sense. You got something that's, you know, contagious in the air, and all of these diseases, when they hit surfaces, their life expectancy drops tremendously. Some of them persist on surfaces, and my mask can't stop me from touching surfaces and then touching, you know, my eyes, my nose, and my mouth. But in terms of just, you know, it being in the air near groups of people, just people respirating, just breathing in and out in buildings, it, you know, it, that stuff's in the air and it's landing on this mask that prevents it from getting onto my nose or face, at least the disease has to hit a surface. And then I have to bring it from that surface into my mouth or nostril before I'm in danger, as opposed to just cruising on through without it.
Hey, any defense is better than no defense. I would agree with that, absolutely. All right, well, we do got to get out of here. Future Dan, another great episode in the bank. Have a good week, and I'll catch you next time, all right?
Enjoy your quarantine, and we're marching towards the 100th episode of this show. Can't wait to do it pretty soon, Ben, this summer.
Yes, sir. 95th episode in the bag. Next week will be number 96. Like you said, up to number 100 pretty soon, but let me make way for the Next Generation show coming up next on the Purple Broadcast Network. All you people out there, have a good week. Keep up the good fight. We'll talk to you soon.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.